It's time for our weekly chat with Rich Copley from the Lexington Herald Leader for a look at this weekend's arts and cultural activities. Rich, it's time for the Thriller Parade, and I guess different this year, it's also part of the Breeders' Cup Festival.
That's right. It's sort of kicking off a big week of activities that'll be going on in and around downtown Lexington related to the Breeders' Cup. The Thriller Parade, it's been going on for a long, long time. It started back in 2002, and Cheryl Truman has a really cool article in the Weekender section today about how it was founded by Teresa Tomb over at Mecca Dance Studio and a few other people. It's just sort of a one-off, let's do this thing, trying to recreate the Michael Jackson Thriller video, and they did it, and it went well, and they thought that would be the end of it, and then it came around to Halloween time the next year, and people said, are you going to do that again? And it's some of these things kind of morph, and now it's become, a huge downtown happening every year that, people, love to, bring their families out and come out and, hear the song and see the dancing and see all the zombies and all the costumes and stuff. So, it really has become a signature event for downtown Lexington.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Breeders' Cup Festival. I'm assuming besides the Thriller Parade, this is a week-long kind of full-fledged festival, right?
It is, and what they're trying to do is, create a lot of activity around the Breeders' Cup, both for people who are coming into town for the event, putting Lexington's best foot forward, and then also for people who are in town, who just are looking forward to a festive week connected with a big event that has never been here before. And some of it feels a little bit like what they tried to do with the World Equestrian Games back in 2010 and having, music downtown every night and various different events throughout downtown and in the area. So right after the Thriller Parade on Sunday night, Here Come the Mummies, which were kind of a big hit during the Spotlight Festival, which was connected to WEG, are going to be playing on the Courthouse Plaza. And then every night next week, there are going to be shows sort of culminating with the big one is Town Mountain and the Travelin' McCrorys are going to be playing there Wednesday night. That same night, you've got a big bourbon event over at the Livery. You've got art exhibits all around downtown and various other events that are happening. So just trying to really create a festive atmosphere connected with the Breeders' Cup. Because, we have a tradition in this state that a horse race is a time to party.
Finally, time for three at the Lexington Philharmonic. Tell us about that.
I know it's funny when I was thinking about talking to you about this. I was thinking last week we had talked about, a classical ensemble that sort of breaks molds and does things differently with Sybarit 5 that came in for the Chamber Music Society of Central Kentucky. And Time for Three is in a very similar vein. They are a group of, classically trained musicians who try to take a very different approach to their craft. And they turned a lot of heads when they were here in 2012 with the Lexington Philharmonic, and they're coming back for an American Soundscapes program. And they're going to be presenting a concerto that was written for them by Chris Brubeck and just really shows off, the many different colors of string music, from bluegrass and Americana and sounds like that that come out of Time for Three. And this has just been a very innovative ensemble that has done a lot of different things. I remember seeing this summer their bass player played the national anthem on an upright, double bass at a Philadelphia Phillies game, and it was kind of an astonishing thing to watch and hear. And, this is a really astonishing group, so it'll be a good chance to see another side of the Philharmonic.
Do you get the feeling that groups like this, like Time for Three, Sybarit 5, are they embraced wholeheartedly by classical music fans, or is there some reluctancy to kind of, welcome them into the fold?
I think, I think it all depends on how you're geared. And, one of the folks in Time for Three told Walter Tunis, he was like, you know, there are people out there who say they only like one genre of music, but if you drill down and really look at what they listen to, they probably don't. They just think they do. You know, and classical music is certainly a field that has its traditionalists that want to hear, you know, sort of the meat and potatoes, you know, time-honored composers. But I think more and more it's an audience that is opened up to and being opened up to a greater variety of sounds, you know, and really diversifying the genre. You're frankly hearing a lot more new music today. Performed at things like, you know, Master Classics concerts by the Philharmonic than, say, you know, 20 years ago when I was first getting into being an arts writer, and it was a very odd thing for someone to bring in a new composition or something that wasn't, you know, seen as very traditional classical music.
Rich Copley from the Lexington Herald-Leader and Lexco.com. Thank you.
Thank you.